If you have your Bible with you or at home, please do turn back to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7 that Jeanette read to us earlier. Just for a few moments. Isaiah chapter 9. It's important, isn't it? Physically coming together if we can, or spending time watching this as we sit under God's word to remind us that Christmas cannot be cancelled. Christmas is all about the reality of Christ. So Isaiah chapter 9. Now, as we gather to mark this Christmas day, it is possible and it's perfectly forgivable if you feel slightly on the gloomy side on this Christmas day. So despite the best efforts of the government and our optimistic Prime Minister and the vaccinations making progress and even decisions over agreement with the EU, there is still a long way to go for joy to return to our nation. As these new variants spread from the disease, we're feeling the strain, aren't we, of renewed and increased social restrictions, trying to suppress the virus until these vaccines or some other way makes us safe again. So in the context of all the news recently, you might be thinking, not happy Christmas, but humbug. And add to that probably the challenges that you have been going through in your own personal experience over the last few months. You can be forgiven for feeling a little on the gloomy side, despite your best efforts at Christmas time. But I want to encourage you this morning, not just with the beautiful sunshine on this Christmas day, and that's encouraged my soul, but I want to encourage you with these words from Isaiah chapter 9 that we have in front of us. Because we see in these verses that with the coming of Jesus, there is real, real joy on the horizon for all who would put their faith and their trust in him. Real joy. This joy was given at the birth of Jesus, as was proclaimed to the shepherds we heard earlier, but is to be fully experienced at his second coming. So let me say this very clearly from this passage, Isaiah chapter 9, that joy is the final word for Christians. Joy is the final word for the people of God, because it comes with the gift of Jesus, God's own son. Now, Isaiah chapter 9 is really given as a message of assurance and encouragement, a message of hope from the Lord to his people in some of their darkest of days. And who doesn't need a bit of encouragement, assurance and hope today? God's people here find themselves under the burden of their Assyrian invaders because of their sin, if you read the Bible story. The Assyrians have swept through from the north and have taken the northern kingdom of Israel, and it looks like Jerusalem is going to be next. So God's people see only distress, darkness, and fearful gloom. Is there any hope for the people of God in such a distressing situation? Is there any hope for us? Maybe you're watching this thinking, is there any hope? Really? For the future? Well, according to Isaiah chapter 9, there is. There is hope in God. The Lord speaks of here how he will act on behalf of his distressed people. And although they cannot see it now, joy truly is on the horizon for all who put their faith and trust in God's promises in Jesus. All other attempts to achieve joy are short term and will not last. But there is true joy to be found in God's gift of Jesus. And so the church continues to gather as we are able to, even in this season of pandemic, because we are the people of hope and joy in Jesus Christ. So look at verse 3. Isaiah speaks of joy here. And then, having spoken of the promise of joy in verse 3, he explains this joy in the following verses. Look at verse 1. Isaiah here points first to the north. He points to Zebulun and Naphtali, the areas in the north. These are the areas that experienced the distress first of all as the Assyrians came through these northern territories. And he says to them in verse 1, no more gloom. No more gloom. Yes, in the past God humbled you as the Assyrians trampled all over you. But in the latter time, the Lord will make you glorious. You are a people of hope in the Lord. In verse 2, the Lord explains that into their death-like darkness, a great light will shine. And it will be the dawning of a new day for the people of God. It's significant that these early verses are quoted by Matthew in his account of Jesus. As Jesus begins his earthly ministry, the coming of Jesus is the dawning of a new day for the people of God. In verse 3, we see that though these people have been shrunk by the Assyrians and driven into gloom, they will indeed be multiplied by the Lord. There will be growth for the people of God. And he will make their joy great too. Increasing their joy. Now you need to remember that as the Lord spoke this message to the people of God in Isaiah's day, joy was the very opposite of how they were no doubt feeling. They were not feeling bubbly and full of joy with their Christmas hats on. But three times in verse 3, the word joy is mentioned. There is joy on the horizon, says Isaiah. Now this is just not the same as an optimistic prime minister trying to spread a good news message. This is God speaking to his people in distress and gloom. If you're part of a church here, you need to take this on board. As we are the people of God in Christ, no matter what the gloom is of our current circumstances. And who could deny that there is gloom for all of us in one way or another at the moment. Ultimately, there is joy promised for the people of God because of the coming of Jesus. Of course, there's a tension in this because true joy will only be fully experienced by the people of God at the second coming of Jesus. But it's promised and given at his first. And it is true, and it marks us out in our trials, not a superficial happiness, but a deep-seated joy, that joy is on the horizon, breaking through for the people of God. Paul, writing his letter to the Romans, talks about the kingdom of God. And he says in these verses that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but righteousness and joy, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You won't find a true lasting joy in those things that can come and go, even the greatest of Christmas dinners. But you will find it in the presence of God with his people. The kingdom of God, righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bring back the joy of God's people in 2021. So verse 3 gives us a wonderful promise of joy, of increased joy for God's people, despite their circumstances. But in verses 4 to 7, you get the reasons for it. In verse 4, Isaiah speaks of this joy coming because the oppression of the Syrians will be broken. Verse 4, like the Lord used Gideon on the day of Midian against the Midianites, so the power of the Assyrians will be broken, he promises. Of course, historically that happened, didn't it? In the days of Hezekiah and Ahaz before him. And the Lord will come. So you're going to be free. Another reason is given in verse 5, when he says that the threat of Assyrians will not just be broken, but they will be completely removed from you. The battle boots, the blooded garments of your enemies will be completely removed and burned as fuel for the fire. The threat against you that looms over you will be removed, and instead there will be peace and security for all of God's people, says the Lord. The reason for joy. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? Whether we consider the oppression at the moment to be a physical one, the virus, or whether it be a spiritual one, the flesh, the sin within, or the devil against us, so is the promise that these things will be broken and removed finally in Christ. And all this comes down to, in verses 6 to 7, the great promise of the child. The oppression will be broken, the threat will be removed, because the Lord will give to his people this son, this child promised to them, whom we mark on Christmas Day. Verse 6 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And under his reign will the peace and security come that cannot be found anywhere else. And it's under his reign and his peace and his rule will come our increased joy that is on the horizon. Isaiah describes this king as a child to be born, just like Hezekiah was born last week, but also at the same time a son that is given, born by earthly ways, but given from God. He is God's king. And so you see in verse 6 that he will bear the responsibility of leadership. You don't have to take the responsibility on your own shoulders. There is a king coming who will set you free, who will lead you, who will love you, who will care for you, who will protect you, who will give you the security that you crave and you cannot find in this world. So in verse 6, Isaiah famously gives these four descriptions of the rule of the coming king, Jesus. You can call them his throne names. They describe what his rule will be like, his character. He's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Supernatural Counselor. He will know exactly what to do to protect and lead his people. Why? Because he has this wisdom from God to lead and protect his people. How often have our earthly leaders been flummoxed in the past year? They don't like to show it, but we've clearly seen it, haven't we? They don't know what to do. They can't sort it all out, even with the best wisdom that the world has. But we, the church, have a king in Jesus who knows exactly what to do, exactly how to lead his church, and we are safe and secure under him. He is the Wonderful Counselor. Secondly, in verse 6, he's called Mighty God. This is his name. This is who he is. Mighty God. This king, this child born to us, has the power to defeat our greatest adversaries, to break their yoke and rod and staff from upon us. He came with the power to deal with Satan and his grip upon us. He came with the power to deal with our own worst enemy, ourselves, because of our sin. He came to break the power of sin and death at the cross, where he died in the place of sinners like you and me. He is Mighty God with the power to break. Is anything impossible for the Lord in your life? Thirdly, he's described here as the Eternal or the Everlasting Father. Don't confuse the words Eternal Father with the Father in the Godhead. He is Christ the Son of God. Rather, this is a description of the fatherly care of King Jesus for his people. He won't just rule remotely. He will love and care for his people as a father. The Bible calls God the Father of the fatherless, the defender of widows. So if you feel lonely or vulnerable this Christmas, what should you do? As the people of God, you've got to remember that the child born for you is described as the Eternal Father, who knows you and loves you and cares for you. With strong, tender love, he reigns and rules on behalf of his people. And it's a love that is eternal, that can never be broken, can never be snapped away from us. Fourthly, he's described here as the Prince of Peace, as he reigns and rules. He's the one that is able to bring about this time when the yoke of oppression is broken and the boots of battle are burned. He's the one that brings peace. And so that's the great result from the rule and reign of Jesus, which began as he came and was announced in his ministry and achieved through his death and his resurrection. And as he reigns even now and will be seen fully when he comes back. Peace. peace between nations, peace between church members, peace between folk in the world, peace with God, peace even with yourself. Such is the rule of Jesus. And this is the joy that will come because of Jesus. You see in verse 7 that his kingdom is a growing kingdom. So you need to recognize this, that Jesus has come. This promise has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the source of all true joy. And these things given to the people of God may have looked so out of focus with the offense going on in Isaiah's day. It was gloomy, it was distressful, it was dark because of what they were going through. But Isaiah in these verses calls for them to adjust their lenses through faith in God's promises and God's character to see the future that God has promised them through Christ the King. And friends, this growing kingdom is glimpsed today, even in the deepest of gloom that faces our culture. And it's glimpsed in the life of the church, the life of the church. Finally, let me apply these things in three different ways. If this promise is about the child being born to us, who will achieve this joy for us, number one, don't put all your trust or your confidence in earthly princes. Governments are God's gift to the world, but they are always flawed in some way or another. They will never have all the answers. They will never be able to truly deliver on all their promises. They will never bring world peace. Now, joy is bound up in the birth and reign of a greater king who rules the church, Jesus Christ. Don't put all your trust in earthly princes. Secondly, remember that this joy promised in verse 3 is both now, but it's also not yet for the people of God. It's still to come. Now, that's really helpful, isn't it, when we recognize the tension here between the first and the second comings of Jesus. Because if you're like me, you don't always feel joyful as a Christian. Part of the church where Christ reigns. In fact, we can go through some very dark and gloomy times. But this joy is now because the promise has been given. The Son has come. He has been born. His kingdom has come through his life and death and resurrection. Jesus is reigning now. But it's also still to come. He must reign until all his enemies have been placed under his feet. So Christian, can I encourage you on this Christmas day, there is joy in Jesus, but there is also the fullness of the joy, that the joy is on the horizon. We look to the return of Christ, and therefore through pain and distress and gloom in our current circumstances, we can look to that joyful day, the return of Jesus. Christmas is about looking to his second coming as well as celebrating his first. And finally, let's just consider this application now to the church, to the people of God. You see, where is this joy-filled, growing kingdom that is secure under the reign of Christ to be tasted and experienced? Where is the Lord increasing joy, even in the context of gloom and distress? Where is the light shining out in the darkness? And the answer is, according to the Bible, Grace Church Guildford. In every gospel church up and down the land that believes the promise, that receives the life of God in them through Jesus. And although every church is imperfect, we are a true display of the promises of Isaiah 9 coming together. This is where Christ governs and reigns his people, not in a building, but amongst the gathered people of God, where joy is present through pain and suffering, something that increases and one day when Christ returns will never end. It is the local church where Jesus reigns and shows his rule. You're watching this and you're not yet a Christian. You've got to see the people of God and the way the churches are reacting to all the events going on at the moment. You'll find your security because we are under the rule and reign of another, the child born to us, the Son given to us, Jesus Christ. So if that's true of us, and we are to be a people that is about peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, then we must seek to display the kingdom of the Son now through our love and joy and trust in the promises of God. Like the people in Isaiah's day, this is both given and it's still to be fulfilled. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus at this Christmas time and know that joy is all on the horizon. How do we know it will happen? Chapter 9, verse 7. Last words. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Christmas isn't cancelled. God's still in control. Jesus is reigning. Happy Christmas to you.